You in the name of Jesus. Lord, our hearts are wide open before you. And Father, we ask that you'll put your word deep into our heart. Father, we hide your word in our heart that we will not sin against you. Father, we ask that your word will bear much fruit in our lives, Lord, that we will not be forgetful hearers, but Lord, we will be hearers and doers of the word of God. Father, by your strength, by your empowerment, Holy Spirit, as you strengthen us and speak to us and lead us and guide us every day, may these words that come out now not be from man, may they be from God, and may they be received into our hearts in a way where we will store them up, and Lord, you will bring them to fruition in our lives, where we will be blessed. Father, may we be blessed because your word abides richly in us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm really blessed to talk about today. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus. And it's such a privilege when you prepare and you study and God leads you down something, just, you know, it's so wonderful. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read through a lot of these. I'll give out all the references, but I may just read through it before everyone gets to turn there. But anyway, I've got the notes. If anyone wants them, I can make all them available. Hebrews chapter 1. Just God has been putting on my heart the last few weeks to talk about the name of Jesus, and I believe it's very important. Not just to do with evangelism, but it's very important in the world, in the church. It's very important to non-Christians. It's very important for Christians. And it's very obvious looking at the world today and looking at churches today, looking at people want to make God acceptable to the world. And so there's ways they do it. And it's interesting to watch the way the name of Jesus gets reduced more and more. So we need to be on guard against that. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, look at this last part, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, where are the angels of God? What do they see? The angels of God see the face of God, don't they? They are before God. Angels are created, and the angels that did not depart from God are in a privileged position, and they are highly regarded. Jesus is more highly regarded. Jesus has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. An inheritance, how do you receive an inheritance? If someone dies and leaves something to the living, we know Jesus died. But we know Jesus rose again and became the living. So it's the unusual death and will and testament passed on, in fact, to himself. Only Jesus could do it, praise God. So Jesus has an excellent name. And I really want to look at this name because God did this very specifically. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33, when the angel is talking to Mary, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." God didn't leave it up to Mary to choose a name. It's very important we see this. God specifically said, this is his name. God specifically said this. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, we know like Elohim, El is God. Emmanuel is God with us, or with us is God. That's the literal Hebrew. So He shall be called Emmanuel. God is very specific, and we know we won't for time go into many of the names that God ascribes people in the Bible, but names are very important. And look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is Matthew's account of the name of Jesus being given. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What does it say then? You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Names mean something. Names are powerful. Names are confessions. God created the world how? When you look at it, look at what we're standing on. Look at the incredible creation around us with a word. So names are powerful. Words are powerful. The name of Jesus is given because he will save people from their sins. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. We know Philippians chapter 2 very well, particularly from verse 5, where it talks about how Jesus humbled himself, you know, having equality with God, did not consider it robbery. But I want to look at verse 8 to 11. Philippians 2, verse 8 to 11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Very important to see that the world 2,000 years ago understood the horror of the cross. Understood it was such a despised, horrible thing. It was such a shameful thing. It was such a torture. Even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him, look at this, the name which is above every name. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus is above the name of Justin. The name of Jesus is above the name of John. It's above the name of Jonathan. It's above not just the names of people. What else can we name? We know it's the name of Jesus is greater than the name of Satan. We know also that there is a fallen state that the world lives in. And we've seen the corruption and sin and all these consequences break forth. We've seen things come into the world we can name, like cancer. Is cancer a name? Is the name of Jesus greater than that name? It is. Every single thing that exists that can be named is lower than the name of Jesus. This is from God. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The Roman Empire, the name of Jesus is greater. The political system in Australia, the name of Jesus is greater. Anything you can name, the name of Jesus is greater. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How powerful is Jesus? How powerful is his name? And I was thinking, you know, if we walked around the streets and we did a survey, we probably wouldn't have to go too far before we found someone who was recovering from a hangover. And if we said to them, the name of Jesus is greater than everything, and if we asked them and said, do you believe that, what would they say? Well, they would probably contend it. But in 60 or 70 or 80 years, will they be able to contend that truth? When they die, every single person will come before God. And it doesn't matter what people say to you and me now. This is the reality. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Even if they don't acknowledge it right now, the day is coming when they will be out of their body, ushered before the great white throne of judgment. And when they're standing there, there will be no denying, because there will be the King of Glory sitting there. And every tongue will confess he is Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's confession unto salvation, but the point is this. He is the boss. And he is the highest. And every single being will acknowledge that. We were coming back from Mandurah on Easter Monday. And we're driving up the freeway. What's that exit? Armadale Road near Atwell? Anyway, down the freeway a bit. We're heading back to Perth. And as we're driving back, there was Elgin, Matthew, myself, and a friend. And we're driving along, and I saw something in the other lanes of traffic heading down south. And I'm watching this thing, and you know sometimes something happens so fast and people say, what's going on? And you can't explain it. And I was driving, and I went, oh my goodness. They said, what? Oh my goodness. And I'm watching this thing. And they said, what? And I said, did you see that? And this is what I saw. There was a policeman on a motorcycle. Now, you know the freeway. How fast do the cars travel on the freeway? 100 kilometres an hour, right? They're going fast. Well, as we're driving up, there's cars going this way, and there is a motorcycle policeman stopped, and he gets off his bike, and he walked out onto the freeway road, and he went like that. And I'm, you know, because it's so fast, and I'm just, oh my goodness, like that, and I'm just watching him. The car's coming, and this car comes, slows down, and pulls over. You know, and he just carried on his job, and, you know, it was only a moment. We kept on driving the opposite direction. But you know that policeman, I mean, you see it sometimes on the suburban streets, and the cars are doing 50 or that, but I hadn't seen them on a freeway because they're going fast. You know, and you think, was he scared? Well, you know, if that was you or me, and you step out into oncoming traffic, and he wasn't dancing or anything, he was like this, and he rolled over. That is a person who has a name. What is his name? Policeman. It has authority. It has power. And he understands that name, and he understands the authority and the power, so that he can stand, and there's a ton or a ton and a half or 2 tons coming towards him, and him in his 80, 90 kilos of, you know, mostly water, puts his hand up, and what happens? Stopped. It stopped. Now, if that was you travelling, and there was a policeman there with his hand up, what would you have done? You would have stopped, right? What if it was just an average person? What if it was just someone? You're driving along one day, and what if just someone just steps out and puts their hand up? You'd probably process it differently. You'd probably go, what's going on here? You know, are they trying to hijack? What's going on? You know, and so at that point, you would exercise a choice. You would either pull over, or you would change lanes, start praying, and go around. So we understand that these names and the names we represent have great power and authority. The statement, I think we know it quite well, where a policeman puts up his hand, and what does he say? Stop. What does he say? Stop in the name of the law. Did you read my notes? Stop in the name of the law. That's what policemen say, right? So we've heard that. Now, on the freeway, I don't think he said that. It was just enough to stand there. But it's a statement that people say, stop. But they don't just say stop. They say stop in the name of the law. If I was a policeman and I was running after someone and I said, stop in the name of Justin, I don't think it would be as effective as saying, stop in the name of the law. So, it's very interesting to see that the power of names actually is played out and used in our world. Hundreds of years ago, of course, none of us were there, but we may have read this or we may have seen this in movies or read about it in history, but you could have guards from a palace, and they would go down to someone's house, and they'd bang on the door, and they'd say something like, open up in the name of the king. Anyone ever heard that sort of thing? Open up in the name of the king. And when a statement like that is made, it affects what's going on. People say it's in the name of the king. And it's very interesting because in the hundreds of years that went by, in the past, if people went about in the name of the king, who were not authorized to go about in the name, well, they could lose their head. They could actually go to the guillotine. They could be killed. So they weren't allowed to go about in the king's business and use the king's name unless it was actually sanctioned by the king, because going about in the king's name carried tremendous weight, carried tremendous authority. So that's that sort of thing was making me think of someone coming to our house. Imagine someone comes to your house. Imagine it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Open up, police. What are you going to do? You get up, you go down, you let them in. Now, our language is slightly different. They don't say open up in the name of the police, but they identify themselves. They come forward actually in a name. And we respond to it. And if you don't think you do, think the next night. Open up, burglar. You know? A name makes a huge difference. So when someone comes to you and says, I'm a policeman, it has a huge impact. If it's a burglar, you're going to go, you know, 000, and you've got to call, because the name has such an impact. I was thinking about kids. If If two kids are outside playing, I think we've all seen this. What happens when two kids are playing and one says, "My turn"? Does it always go well? But what if one of them says, "Dad says it's my turn"? Then what happens? Well, it should, hopefully it goes better, right? But generally, kids go out and they say, "Dad says," and it makes a difference. Now, at work, do we use people's name as authority to achieve things? Do you? In your job? I do in mine. I'll be in meetings and people will say, "We want to do this." And I say, "Well, the principal wants this to happen." And often that'll bring an end to the argument. They might say, "Oh, what about this and that?" They go, "Oh, okay, they want to go in this direction." Do you use the name? See, we actually use names all the time. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to ask you a question. How did David beat Goliath? We know the story of David, Sister Esther was talking before about him. You know, had God delivered the bear and the lion into his hand? How did David beat Goliath? Very good. In chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin." Now just pause there for a minute. "You come to me with sword." Now, Goliath is huge. He's got a sword. Now just contemplate the reality of this for a minute. With that sword, he would most likely be able to swing it and take someone's head off. I know it's very horrible, but this is the reality of the weapon he's got. It's a sharp sword. He could pierce someone's body and probably run it all the way through him. He could probably take off a limb. This is the power of the sword. He's got a spear. Now, a spear would be something, you know, like this, carry around, stabbing, that sort of thing. Again, it's a powerful weapon that would kill someone. The javelin, those of you that have read about the javelin, where it talks about it, and it says it's like a weaver's rod. And when you look at the weights and the conversions, it's this massive thing. So Goliath comes to David with weaponry that is powerful. And we can't just overlook it's a sword. It's something that from a distance away, he could dismember, kill. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you," what? "In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Did David have skill with weapons? He did. David had skill with weapons. Okay, you get yourself two straps and a little bit of leather and put a rock in there and see if you could hit me. I'd stand here and give you a shot. I don't think you would. David was able to take down a bear. He's able to take down a lion. And we know he could take down Goliath. For him to have this stone, and he picks the stone, so he knows pick the smooth ones because of the aerodynamics, not the jagged ones, so they're going to curve. So he knows how to pick a certain type of weapon. And he knows how to throw it with such accuracy and such force, it could hit someone here and kill them. David had skill. Did he come to the battle in his skill? No, he didn't. He said that. He didn't say, "You're coming against me with a sword, but look, I've got a weapon that can reach you from further." He said, "No, I'm coming to you in the name." In the name. He didn't say, "I'm coming to you in the history of the Lord." He didn't say, "I'm coming to you in the story of when God did this." I'm not coming to you in my experience with the bear. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And it's something that is so, so important for us to get into our hearts. The name of the Lord. David would come to him in this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. This is something we know quite well. Proverbs 18, 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. What is a strong tower made from? What do you think? What's a strong tower made from? It's a tower, right? So what do you think it's made from? Hay and mud? No.
What do you think? Going back thousands of years, a strong tower. What did they make towers from? Stone?
Rocks?
They did. Stones and rocks. Look at these walls.
I hope this works. Feedback. Sorry.
Oh, Matthew. It's all right. It's okay.
Just, we all know rocks and bricks and so on. Sorry, guys. You know, and just think about this. Just think about this. Think about pounding this. Think about hitting this or how strong this is. This is very, very, what's the word? This would be weaker than what the towers would be made out of, right? Yet, who of us would punch this with our hand? None. I mean, you know, it is so, so, so strong. It's really strong. Towers are made out of stronger things. Sorry about that, Jonathan and Abraham. Okay, so the Bible says that the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, it doesn't say heaven. It doesn't say the chariot. It doesn't say when the angels surround you. It says the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So why do we need to talk about this? Firstly, the Bible says these truths. Whatever the Bible says, we reiterate. Whatever we read, whatever we understand, whatever we accurately study, we pass on. We're not ashamed of the Word of God. And we read it, we make it known. But the second reason I really think we need to look at this is because there is a constant warfare. There is constant warfare happening. And this warfare is designed to get us to diminish our understanding and involvement and use of the name of Jesus. This warfare is an effort to smear the name of Jesus. You know, I have never, ever, ever in my life, and if anyone has, please say, I've never been in a situation where I've heard someone swear using the name of Buddha. You know, like when someone's hammering away and they bang and they go, oh, Buddha, you know. I've never heard that. I've never heard them say Muhammad. I've never heard them say Allah. I've never heard them say Confucius. I've never heard them say any of these things. I've only ever heard them say Jesus or Jesus Christ and them say it as a substitute for a swear word. And I was talking to people and I said, why is that? And these people didn't know, but I believe we know. It's because Satan knows that God has given him, Jesus, a name above every name. So what does he want to do? He wants us to zip it. He doesn't want you to go out and evangelize and say, do you know about Jesus? He'd probably be happy for you to say, do you believe in God? But do you know how specific it gets when you mention Jesus? You know, people get up at awards. I'm not sure if you've watched any of the awards that go on and people get up and we want to thank God and all that. But you'll hear people get up and they say, we give thanks, you know, thank you, Jesus. We give thanks, you know. And when you start to say the name of Jesus, you see people prickle. But you can say God and people are like, yes, we all love God as well. But you say Jesus and it does something. And the reason it does something is from John 17, where the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, doing three things. One of the things is convicting the world of guilt in regard to sin because men do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit is ministering to every single human being on the planet. It's an amazing thing. This is something that's a great encouragement when you're evangelizing. You can go and talk to someone about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's already there convicting them of guilt in regard to sin because they do not believe in Jesus. That is why you can say the name of Jesus to people and it will impact them in a way that saying the name of Confucius wouldn't. Even sometimes just talking about God, when people just talk generically about God. The name of Jesus is the name above every name. When you go into any scenario, it has power. Power in evangelism, power in prayer, power against the enemy. It is an amazing, wonderful thing God has set up, and it's not an accident. God didn't just say, and I don't mean this rudely at all, God didn't just say to Mary, call him what you want. God said, his name is Jesus, and all the reasons why. Elgin and I were talking about a place, and at this place, this is again, I think, one of the efforts the enemy is trying to do. Easter would come, and they were allowed to celebrate Easter as long as it centered around a bunny, but they couldn't mention the cross, and this was in teaching kids. When it came to Christmas, They could celebrate Santa Claus, but not Jesus. But do you know what the weird thing was? They'd celebrate Halloween. Who's behind these things? See, the devil is behind these things to remove Jesus. Let's get Jesus down. Halloween, we're going to celebrate Witches' Night and goblins. And yes, that's okay. Let's let the young kids learn about that. This is what these people are doing and what they put in. I was at a, I was with a group of about 50 people, and someone had gotten up and was sharing from the Word of God. This wasn't here, and this was only a couple of weeks ago. And they're sharing, and at the end, the person who was hosting it got up and said, "Let's pray." And they prayed, and they said, "You know, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and that." And they prayed along these lines. And the thing that surprised me was right at the end, because I've known this person for a long time. And right at the end, the person prayed and said, "We ask this in your name." Now, I don't know if you've ever been in circles where you hear prayer going like that. Now, my understanding is you pray in the name of Jesus. But it has become trendy or something like that. And we've been out, we're at a separate organization. And we were there with a group of people. And these people prayed and they prayed and we asked this in your name. And I can tell you different pockets of churches I've gone around. And people who would pray in Jesus' name, they're not praying in Jesus' name. But they're praying to God the Father and saying, "We ask this in your name." And it sounds very nice to them, and it's all very good. And I said to these people when we were at this course that ran a while ago, and I said to them, "Why do you pray in your name? Why don't you pray in the name of Jesus?" But that's what they do in their church. But it wasn't always like that. Who do you think is behind removing the name of Jesus? See, we could talk much about schools around the world where they've brought in laws and they've said you can no longer pray. You can no longer talk about Jesus. There are people here who do different works going into schools, and they've been told you can come in and share your faith, but you can't say Jesus. They say that. You can come in and you can share your faith, but you can't use the name of Jesus. This is here. So who's behind all this? Well, I believe the enemy is behind all of this. Why? Because the name of Jesus is the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And there is a war going on, and it's not just with non-Christians, it's actually in the church. And there's subtle things that have crept in, not to here, but subtle things that have crept in where people, yeah, we pray to God and we just pray to God and we say thank you and we pray in your name. And that's it. And they'll pray this from the pulpit, and this is just a regular thing. And you know what happens after it happens in the pulpit? The congregation members, they start praying that way. And that's what I've seen. And I've watched these people. You didn't used to do that. Now you do. See how we have to be on our guard. Is it in the Word? Please, let's do it. If it's not, let's not do it. And we have to, it doesn't matter who's speaking. It doesn't matter where we're at. Doesn't matter how good the reputation. Is it what the Word says? So that is so important. John 15, 16. I'm going to read through these so we can finish up. John 15, 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." Listen to this. "So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." John 16, 23. "In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you." Verse 24, John 16. "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive." Jesus is repeating this a lot. John 16, 26. "In that day you will ask in my name." Look, that's in the space of four verses. Jesus says it three times. You know, we really have to take note of this. "In that day you will ask in my name." Mark 16, verse 17 to 18. "These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons." In my name. "They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." You could preface each of those things with "in my name." In Acts chapter 4, verse 30. "While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." How did signs and wonders take place? Through the name. Acts 4:30, "through the name of your holy servant Jesus." In Acts 16, where the lady who had that spirit, who, you know, in Ephesus, went around doing all those things and followed Paul, saying, these guys know the way to God. Okay, in Acts 16, verse 18, she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, listen, no, he didn't say that, but listen to this. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. The name of Jesus. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks. Listen to these words. Always giving thanks for all things. And we know about this. Jonathan and I have talked a lot about this, about being thankful. We ought to be thankful. Always giving thanks for all things. How? In the name of Jesus. Always, all things, in the name of Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And a question I could say to you is, what is the greatest thing you have to give people? What do you think is the greatest thing you have? And I like what Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, I do not possess silver or gold. You could have $1 billion. You could have $100 billion. You could swap places with Bill Gates or one of these guys and have tremendous resources. And if you did, that wouldn't be the greatest thing you had to give. Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And we know what happened. This man, he got up, he walked. And now I just want us to look specifically at how the devil wants to silence it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, just moving on from this story, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. It's very, very interesting. By the name of Jesus, and then he repeats it, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. Now they responded when they were brought to account. The people who called Peter and such to account in Acts 4:17. Listen to this, and this is how the devil is working against us. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. When you look at the setups going on at the time of Acts, you would find statues to gods all over the place. But what did they say? But don't say the name of Jesus. Yes, there's this God. Yes, there's that God. Yes, there's this one. Yes, there's this temple. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus? No. Why? Because it's the name above every name. Because it's power. Because everything else is false. And there's one thing that heaven backs up, and it backs it up with such power it turns the world upside down, so the devil runs and he tries to shut our mouths. Shut our mouths in evangelism, shut our mouths in the church. We know his tactics. In Acts 5:28, because what did they do? They told him not to go and teach and preach in this name. Did they obey? No, better to obey God rather than man. And in Acts 5:28, we gave you strict orders. We didn't just suggest it to you. We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And go down to verse 40 of Acts chapter 5. And after calling the apostles in, they flogged them. They whipped them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then they released them. This is the work of the enemy. Anything that's going on in your life, anytime you're in a situation and the name of Jesus is rising up within you and there's something within you that meets with anxiety, something within you that meets with this great apprehension or caution, deal with that. Settle that. Pray for boldness. Whatever you need to do. Pray for courage. Pray for, you know, whatever you need. Because the name of Jesus is the name we go out in. David beat Goliath, not in his strength, in the name of the Lord. We overcome, not in our own name, but we overcome, and it's by Jesus. And so the enemy wants to strip that away from us. And I just want to end with this scripture, and you can turn to it in Acts chapter 21, verse 13. Paul's companions are quite distraught because he's about what's about to happen. And Paul answered, Acts 21:13, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? And what does he say? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem. For what purpose? What does your Bible say? For the name of Jesus. We have to lift up the name of Jesus. Satan wants to bring it down. Satan wants to close your mouth. He doesn't want you talking about it. He'd even be happy for there to be an abstract talk about God. But as soon as you make it about Jesus, it is the name above every name. It is the one name given to man by which man can be saved. No other name. So we have to be aware of the devil's tactics, and we have to stir up that faith within us. And my goodness, what happens when we pray in the name of Jesus? What happens when we speak against spirits in the name of Jesus? Immediately, the spirits leave. We see circumstances change. So let us not become people who get caught up, which we aren't, in the fashions even of church. We will not be a people who say, in your name. Because Jesus said, those three times in those four verses, ask in my name. Why? Because God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. So we must do that. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you that you have sent Jesus, and that he has obtained the name that is most excellent, the name that is above every name. Father, and we bow before you, we bow before the name of Jesus, and we know so does whole creation. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we will grow in courage, that we will grow in boldness, that the name of Jesus will be on our lips. It'll be coming out of our mouth every day. Every day we will be praying in the name of Jesus. Every day we will be speaking to circumstances in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for even for the testimonies that came on here earlier, that the testimonies are in the name of Jesus we have victory. In the name of Jesus we have become overcomers. I thank you, Lord, for my brother, for his house that was not burnt down, that in the name of Jesus that house will be blessed, it will prosper, that family will be blessed, it will be prosper. Father, that you will make a way in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the name of Jesus is above every single attack and every weapon of the enemy that comes against us. Doesn't matter how shiny and big the sword is. Doesn't matter how heavy the javelin is. Doesn't matter how great a weapon the enemy manufactures against us, because we don't come with weapons of carnal warfare. But we come in a spiritual authority that we have. Just like that policeman stopped that car on the freeway, you, Lord, have given us an authority that you said to us. You have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over our lives and we say we are set free. There is no yoke in our lives that entangles us. There is no snare in our lives that we've fallen into. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are free. Father, just like they were free to come out and serve you, Father, we are free to come and serve you. Father, I pray for myself and for every one of us here, that there will be no obstacle in our path that will hinder us from following you. In the name of Jesus, we speak to every hindrance and every obstacle that has been put before us. In the name of Jesus, we say it will not prosper, it will not cause us to stumble. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that this is a house of servants, this is a house of leaders, this is a house of people called by your name to serve before the King of Kings. And every single one of us will serve you as you've called us to in the name of Jesus. We will not serve the devil and we will not fall to his tactics in the name of Jesus. Father, you have made us wise. You have made us aware of the cunning, deceitful plans of the enemy. And Father, in your grace, by the name of Jesus Christ, we know that we are more than victorious. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. So, Father, we thank you. Every single one of us here today stands free, and in the name of Jesus, we serve you with everything that we have, and we rejoice in that, Father, because that is eternal life for us, that we will know and love and serve you in Jesus' name. Father,